Good morning. Just have to wind up the device so that I can actually read the sermon. There we go. Didn't we have two fantastic readings there? Great readings, weren't they? And both readings, and in them we see God calling and empowering in both readings. And we're going to have a look at them this morning. So let's start with Isaiah. Can you imagine being Isaiah? Difficult if you're a woman because he's a man. But, you know, imagine being Isaiah. And there you are in the temple. Maybe something, a building maybe similar size to this. And then you're overcome with God's appearance and his presence. Imagine being Isaiah and being able to say, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I saw God in all his glory. So gigantic was Isaiah's vision of God that the hem of God's robe was enough to fill the whole temple. So can you imagine the hem of God's robe filling this church? Not the whole robe, just the bit at the bottom. Perhaps had a frill on it, I don't know. And you'd have to find your way through it to actually look up. The hem of God's robe. It was for Isaiah as if the doors of God's throne room had suddenly opened. It opened here, and boom, out came the hem of God's robe into the temple. Isn't that amazing? And this vast vision of God in his throne room, in front of Isaiah. Imagine that happening here in church. As we look in awe at heaven opening before our eyes. Imagine feeling, like Isaiah, the immense holiness of God's actual and close-up presence. There was God on his throne, as Isaiah put it, high and lifted up. And so powerful was God's presence that the whole temple filled with smoke, and it's, depending on your translation, its doorposts or its foundations shook. And that was just with the sound of the seraphim calling, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That was just with them saying that. And everything was shaking and the place was full of smoke. And Isaiah, all this power and this glory and holiness caused him to declare, Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips. I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. As Isaiah stood before this amazing appearance of God, he knew immediately his incredible sinfulness, his unholiness. And he thought, because of all of that, he was doomed. Woe is me. How could he stand before this appearance of God? So let's leave Isaiah there for a bit. And let's move forward to the gospel reading. No less impressive is the presence of Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. No less impressive and amazing that God in Jesus is stood on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. This is Jesus who said to Thomas, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." God was present in Jesus by the Sea of Galilee just as much, if not more, than he was present with Isaiah in the temple 770 years before, about. Jesus is teaching a great crowd of people from Peter's fishing boat because there was no room to do it on the seashore without being forced to stand in the sea, or perhaps in Jesus' case, on the sea. After Jesus had finished teaching, he commands Peter to sail out into the lake and cast his net, even though Peter had fished all night with his friends and caught nothing. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. All who were with Peter, or with them, were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. God's power had been seen and felt yet again, but in a completely different way. This time, breaking into the ordinary working lives of a group of fishermen. And as it says, they were astonished. So much so that it shook the foundations of their daily lives. They didn't know what to make of it. And Peter fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Just like Isaiah, when God was present in Jesus, and his power was displayed, Peter could see all his sinfulness and his unholiness laid out before him. "I am a sinful man, O Lord." So where does all this lead us? Well, I think it has huge amounts to teach us about God's call on and into our lives. And God's always calling us. And just from these two passages this morning, we can see that there are some key and eternal calls of God on our lives. Because let's not forget that our God is eternal. And he's beyond the time, outside of time, if you like. It has no effect on him. So when he speaks, his word never passes away. It is forever. It is eternal. And what God is saying to Isaiah and to Peter, he is also saying to us. So let's try and distill down what some of the eternal words of God that we find in today's readings might actually be. I think he says these things. "I am here, and I am more real and more holy than you can imagine. Your sin is taken away. Will you go for me? Will you follow me? Will you go where I send you? And will you say the words and use what I have put in you? I am here, and I am more real and more holy than you can imagine. Your sin is taken away. Will you go for me? Will you follow me? Will you go where I send you? And will you say the words I've put in you and use what I've put in you?" I think that is real eternal God stuff. And if you're not in Christ yet, then God is calling you now into his presence, and he is offering you forgiveness of your sin. Both Isaiah and Peter realized that sinfulness before the presence of God is just obvious, and even more obvious before a demonstration of his power. And for us, what could demonstrate the power of God more than the death and resurrection of Jesus? Isaiah was told by the seraphim, "Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Isaiah was forgiven and set at peace with God. Atoned for, set at one with God. Peter, after declaring that he was a sinful man, was told by Jesus, "Do not be afraid, for now, from now on, you will be catching men." Or if you like an inclusive translation, people. But it doesn't actually say that. God is real and powerful, and our sin can be forgiven because of God's power displayed in the death of Jesus on the cross and in his resurrection. But when we have found peace with God, and when our sin is taken away, when we have joined God's family, still he continues to call us. He never stops calling us. "Now you are part of my family. Will you follow me? Will you go for me?" After Peter, James and John had brought their boats into the land, we are told they left everything and followed Jesus. And that everything includes that huge haul of fish, and their boats, and their jobs or livelihoods. When Isaiah heard the call of God, "Go out from God's throne room, whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Isaiah responded, "Here am I, send me." That call, "Who will go, and will you follow me?" Or simply, "Follow me," is eternally coming from God's throne room. So, will you go? Will you go? Will you follow? You might be saying to yourself, "Where should I go?" Ask God. Maybe you should go to your neighbour. Maybe just to a room to pray. A lot. Maybe to another part of the world. I don't know. Ask God. God does not call us to follow him and to go anywhere without the resources to do the job. When Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me," God told him who to go to and what to say. "Go and say to this people," and there's a whole load of stuff that follows our reading that Isaiah had to say. When Peter left everything with his associates, James and John, and to follow Jesus, Jesus told him exactly what he wanted from him. He was to become a fisher of men. Fisher of people. God is calling you, calling me. What has he put in you that he wants you to use in his service? What has he put in you? He's put something in you, always does. What has he told you to say? God wants what he has put in us to be used and to be spoken. It's not for us, it's for those to whom he sends us. Just like Jesus, what we hear the Father saying, that is what we must pass on. What we see the Father doing, That is where we must go and join him doing it, however small or big that might be. And that is God's calling on our lives. There's no slackening off. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are or how much in the middle you are. God's call into and on our lives is eternally coming out of his throne room and echoing around the universe. The question for us to ponder this morning is, can we hear his call on our lives, and how are we responding? And if God's call is difficult to hear, pray for him to help you to hear. And if you've heard God's call but are struggling to act on it, ask him to give you strength and courage to move forward. Remember, you cannot act on God's eternal call on your own. It's all of God, and he will supply what you need. Amen.